Well, for those of you who are like me and you're sick and tired of ice and you're sick and tired of the thermometer reading zero or single digits, I have some good news. I hear 64 is in line for this week, so yes, praise God. We all do the dance of joy. God heard my prayers. I think I did my prayers the other morning. I woke up and I saw it was like 2 degrees on my phone. And I said, Lord, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. Let it warm up. He heard my prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Well, last week I began a message on training up children. I didn't get into two scriptures. Out of several, and this is always a favorite. You know, of course, the littler ones are out of here right now, but this is the one where we start talking about sparing rod and spoiling children and all that stuff. And but what I'm actually talking about as far as training up our children goes far beyond spanking. Somewhere along the line, we got it in our mind that that's the only way you train up children. They do something wrong, you spank them. You know what? I never learned to do my homework in 12 years by getting paddling. Didn't do it. Didn't work. I still wouldn't do it. I wasn't motivated enough to do it. And the truth of the matter is, when you train up your children, how many of you figured out each one of your children is unique? They've got different quirks from the other one. What worked over here doesn't work over here. And so you now have to figure out how to make this work. I think it was Joshua. We were talking. I overheard a conversation between him and his mother last night. And we were just talking. They were talking about being competitive in sports. Joshua could care less about competing. He really could. Doesn't care to compete. Now, maybe if it's in a truck or on a motorcycle or something like that, it might be a different story. But when it came to sports, he could care less. He doesn't like to play card games, doesn't like board games. His mother loves them. Now, Jesse, on the other hand, he loves to compete. We always said if there was a ball involved, Jesse loved to do it. Different things motivated them. And so, you know, it's been, and Justin is, he's kind of a mix between both of them. And so it's been a unique thing seeing similarities of yourself in your children, but other parts that scare you because you have no idea what's going on. You know, Angela might see similarities in the children with that she relates to. I see them that I relate to. And then there's those ones that they combined. They morphed into something totally different. And now we've got to try to figure out how to bring out their best. When the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, it's not saying beat them all the time and they will not walk away. Sorry, doesn't work. Do you know how many people right now out there who are in what we call sinful industries grew up in church? And all they were ever done was it was beaten into their head this and their backsides were beaten for that. That's not training up your child. If you want to take how many of you remember the movie Black Stallion? That was the first movie I remember going to a theater to watch in the third grade. And as you were, fourth grade. And in that movie, this little boy picks up this wild Arabian stallion through a shipwreck and whatever. And he's able to ride this horse that nobody else could ride. And the reason he's able to ride this horse is because he showed the horse love. The horse began to trust him. But when the rightful owners found the horse, they only understood one thing: beat the horse into submission. The horse never submitted. The horse wouldn't do what it needed to do. See, if you've got a race horse, you got to bridle him. You've got to break him without breaking his spirit. And that's what happens many times when we're training up our children, because we have the mentality, because it's what we've been raised. Well, life was rough. Life has always been rough. Don't tell me that life in the 1800s was any rougher than it is now. Well, we got so much stuff, it's easier. Yeah, we got so much more stuff going around that's more deadly. And so life is always rough. It's just a perspective. The truth is, we forgot what it means to train. You know, personally, you know, even the drill instructor, they finally did make them quit hitting recruits shortly after I did. I think I got hit a couple times. I know I did. Wasn't no thinking. You don't try to correct a drill instructor. I'll just tell you that right now. But they did stop beatings. They were no longer allowed to physically touch them, because that's not training. That's some drunk with an anger problem venting on somebody who's not allowed to stand to back up for themselves. Okay? That's what we became, training our children. It's a Christian comedian. I don't know which one. I can see him now. He's talking about, he says, I don't spank my children. Oh, yeah, look, I beat up a 2-year-old. You know, he says, anybody can do that. That's not training. Are spankings a part of that? For the right offenses, yes. Okay, let's keep the right offenses the right offenses. Your child not getting good grades on a report card may indicate a problem. Hello? Now, if it's because they're watching TV, seriously, do you think spanking them is going to get them to quit watching TV? No, cut the cable. Well, I mean, I can't watch my stories. Sometimes you got to suffer with them. And I know that stinks. But guess what? It's part of being an adult. I remember when my OIC at Camp Lejeune told me that. I said, so in other words, sir, I can't make him do something after hours that the duty has to watch. I have to be there. He said, yeah. So I got to mess myself over in order to correct him. Bingo. And it was a hard lesson to learn, but unfortunately, that Marine never learned his lesson. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to pick up back there. I ended This is kind of where we left off, and I was about to transition over, but I wanted to pick up something else real quick. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. And you fathers, this is where I wanted to go back to, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So many times, two spots here I want you to look at real quick. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then when he's addressing the fathers, he tells them, and bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In other words, fathers, we need to start acting like our heavenly Father. Not how our father treated us, how his father treated him. We need to act like our heavenly Father. And we have a great example in the prodigal son. The son, in my opinion, is just a sidebar in that whole story. It tells about God's love. We always look at the son, oh, because we relate. We were the prodigal. But we failed to look at the father. and the great love. And even though he had a son, he didn't point fingers and start accusing him over here. He accepted this one back in. He loved them both the same. He would have done the same thing for either one of them. God is not picky. I like his child better than I do that one. No. I love all my boys. I always try to figure that out after, do you guys do the same? Okay, I got another kid on the way. How am I going to separate, how am I going to share the love between the kids? And if you get more, it's like, okay, that's more, one more kid. How do I keep spreading the love? It's amazing. You never run out. Now, there's different things about all three of them that frustrate me. But there's things about all three of them that I'm up on top of the barn. Cock-a-doodle-doo, this is my son. And guess what? That is right. We've been told, oh, don't do that. They'll get a big head. Well, if that's the case, I want my kids to have humongous noggins because I love them. What good does it do to tell everybody else I'm proud of my son, but never them? What good? It does no good. Everybody else, you're just bragging. Yeah, we all brag. Let's get real. And if you aren't bragging on your children, find something to brag on your children about. So, anyhow, Paul's saying here, he said, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That means to resentment. That they grow up resenting you because you didn't bring them up right. You can ask Joshua. He's grown. He's doing things on his own now. I only interject a little bit into his life. I've always let him make his own decisions, where he goes to work, what he does, what truck he buys. I've let him make those decisions. I think kids need to have decisions to make. How else are you going to be able to make a decision when you grow up? My first adult decision was to enlist. Guess what, Dad? You threatened to take me. I'm going now. It says, do not drive your children to resent you or to resent God. Okay? Now, there's a reason he addressed the fathers in this. In the Jewish culture, after a child was above about the age of 3, Junior went to work with Dad. He started learning the family business. Nearly everybody was self-employed. If he was a shepherd, kids were out there learning about the sheep. Well, a 3-year-old can't learn. Are you kidding me? Go down here. There's some of these kids down here. They ain't barely big enough to put on cowboy boots, and they know more about the livestock that their family has. And if he was a carpenter, guess where Jesus was? Oh, Jesus went straight to the ministry, brother. Don't you know? Are you kidding me? His father was a carpenter. Joseph built things. And actually, a lot of historians believe, as part of carpenters, they didn't actually differentiate too much between those who built with stone and those who built with wood. Because I don't know about you, but all the pictures I've ever seen of Israel, I ain't seen very many forests. They had a lot of rocks to build with. And so they would carve out rocks and make blocks and build their houses. So a lot of people believe that that's what Jesus did. So by the way, if your image of Jesus on the cross is this puny little Twinkie hanging on the cross. The last time I checked, carpenters and stonemasons are some of the toughest men around. They may not have the big old bulging muscles, but when it comes to strength, You can't beat it. And so Jesus would have been lean and mean, okay? Now, the Bible says he wasn't overly good looking. For those of you who keep trying to make him look like Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt or whatever, he said he wasn't good looking, so he didn't follow him for that reason. So the fathers were constantly involved in their children's life at some point, and it was usually working. But the father at this point had to learn how to train that boy, because I don't know that they did much bringing up with the girls in that realm. The mama did a lot of that. And so he would take his son to work. All right, here's a hammer. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've lost my patience a few times. But then as a father, as maturity comes in, you learn to say, you know what? Let me show you. Step in. Now, I've been remodeling the boys' bedroom upstairs. And, you know, there's certain aspects I'm all gung-ho getting on, and then I'm like, I forgot how much I despise doing this. So the other day I told Joshua, hey, we need a third coat of mud on those joints on the ceiling. I said, you won't have to stand on a platform to do it. You can just walk down through there. Well, he did it. He did the best he knew how to do. And the next morning I got up and said, well, I can float a little thinner coat over it and it'll look really nice. And it did. But then last night we said, well, let's roll the ceiling. We're going to stomp it and knock it down. And we started on that, and I'd forgot. It's been over a year since I've done one, and then it took a while to figure that back out. And eventually we figured out it was just as easy for me to do it because everything was drying too fast. But then there's been times, you know, in our lives where it's just like, just get out of the way. Let me do it. Now, last night I had a problem because the mud was drying. If the mud dries, you just ruined your ceiling. So we were trying to figure this out, and I said, I just don't have the time for you to develop the technique to do this, okay? It's kind of like trying to make concrete figurines while the concrete's setting up on you. Here, learn how to do this real quick. This is permanent, and you got to live with it. And I admit, there were times in my past I'd just say, just get out of my way. Anybody ever heard that? Just get out of the way, let me do it. I didn't learn a thing, except if I didn't want to do something, don't do it right. But somewhere along the line, I got hold of the concept of, well, you messed it up, you get to work with it. You get to figure it out. You know, will Joshua ever be a drywaller? I highly doubt it. You know why? I think he likes it about as much as I do now. And so for us as fathers in particular, to train up our children, we're also to train them up to be good, godly men. But we also have to train our children up to let their character show through. That's not what we want to do, especially in the church. We don't want individual character. We like the clones. We see the church as an assembly line, as Steve Taylor put it. You come in that door, you get saved, sanctified, delivered, healed, holy, and out the door you go, and you look like everybody else. You act like everybody else. You think like everybody else. Guess what? I don't think like everybody else. Phil will testify to that fact. We're each an individual, and God gave us that individual character, not so that we could come sit every Sunday morning in a church and say, well, you need to just surrender to God. God is multifaceted. Your character is a part of Him. Who you are is from Him. And as earthly parents, it is our job to help you be the best you can be. Not live your life for you. Or not live out the life I regretted not living through you. It saddens me to go to sporting events and see children. You know they're there because their parents are making them. The child has no desire for this. It's on their face. So I've always told my children, if you want to do something, we'll do it one time. And if you do not like it, you ain't doing it next year. Now, I will admit, I did kind of keep pushing Joshua in cross country. And he admitted last night, he said, after my freshman year, I could have cared less. He said, I did it for you guys. Thank you. I at least got some exercise out of it. You ain't ever been to a cross country race. They're about 20 minutes long. And the participants have to run from one side to other places just to be able to watch people run. Otherwise, it's over and you missed your runner. So for us to train up our children, again, means bringing up their character, letting them make mistakes, helping them, holding their hand when they need to help, when they need that, and letting go. You know, as typically it's a father that's teaching their children to ride a bike, but it's not always. But when you're holding that seat on the bike, now don't let go, Daddy, and then you just let go and they're riding down the sidewalk. Don't let go, Daddy. They're still hollering, don't let go, and you let go 50 yards back. You have to know when to let go. You have to know when to take the training wheels off. Today, honestly, we do not have that concept. You know why? We have motorcycles with training wheels for adults. I'm sorry, if you can't ride it, get off of it. Go back to your bicycle. Learn to hold your little bicycle up. Ding, ding. Do your Pee Wee Herman imitation. And ride around pretending that you're a motorcycler. No. We want to make everybody feel... Not everybody's made to ride a motorcycle. You know, when I got my bike, and everybody's like, Angela, you going to get a motorcycle? She's like, heck no, I don't want one. Oh, you need to get a bike. I said, listen, she doesn't want one. She doesn't feel safe. She's never driven one. Matter of fact, I think I was the first person you ever was ever on a motorcycle with, and it was my brother's little 90 Enduro that he bought off of Bobby. I'll tell you what, we had that little bike squatting, but boy, I was making it scream as fast as it could go down that dirt road. And I think I even tried to let her ride it, and she's like, oh, and she popped the clutch, and, you know, I think bike went.
I rode it shortly that I gave it back to
you. Yeah. Yeah, so there's things I know she's not going to do, but yet Trisha can ride a motorcycle. Well, Trisha's got one. You should be able to get one. No. She has no desire, and that's what I always tell people. If you do not feel safe and comfortable, stay off of it. Although I will admit there was a point a couple weeks ago I bought a four-wheeler, and she'd never ridden one. Really? Well, she'd ridden three-wheelers back in the day, but she rode it. First time out. Now, I will say this. Yeah. I will say this. Joshua didn't help none. He was on it with her, and there they go. I'm like, are you kidding me? Joshua's getting like me and say, yeah, I've wrecked everything. I know how to ride it now. So you train up your children. One, you don't live in fear with your children. Guess what happens? Little birdies do eventually say, you know what? I'm tired of the nest. You keep shoving the little feathers and the rabbit pellets in there to keep it comfortable for them. And they're like, I can see another mountaintop. I want to go see that mountaintop. Oh, no, baby, you're too small. You aren't big enough yet. Really? There's guys my age traveling around the world. Sometimes you got to, and then you have to know when to let go. And you rest that hopefully you train them enough in the admonition of the Lord that, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. But you've got to have some of that training. Nobody does it perfect. Nobody. I don't care how perfect you think you raised your children. And right now at the moment, I'm thinking of several people, I mean, not in here, who think that their children, oh, we raised them up perfect, there's never been a problem. But the problem is they never allowed their children to actually spread their own wings. When you keep clipping their wings and controlling them, they never actually make a decision. Now, there's certain decisions that at certain ages we let the boys start making. But they didn't get to make certain decisions until they were at that age. Now, let's go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 and 2. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fools pours forth foolishness. I can tell you right now, everybody can sit here and think of when you asked a simple question. And because of a bad day, and as parents, we know, you get your fair share of bad days. But you need, and this was something that was always kind of difficult for me for a while to do, was to leave work at the end of that driveway. My family did not deserve the fact that I wanted to rip the supervisor's head off. It wasn't Bobby. He was he was my last boss. Then I went self-employed. I need to leave that stuff there. I need to leave the frustrations with the coworker that I wanted to stomp into a pile of dust. Anybody had one of those? I had a coworker one time. People came up to me and said, are you guys brothers? I looked, I'm about ready to slap him. I said, no. Why? He said, boy, you guys fight just like brothers. We did. I didn't like him and he didn't like me. I don't know what the deal was, but we were oil and water. We didn't mix. And so we have to start learning to leave those frustrations there and not when, daddy, daddy. Leave me alone. Can't you have it? I haven't had my beer yet, driver. I ain't had my joint yet. Well, here's your first problem. You're relying on outside influences to relax. You got an addiction. See, there's the problem with those things. Oh, I got to go. Got a headache. Well, you know why you got a headache. Go sit down. Tell you what, grab yourself a glass of iced tea. Find you a shade tree. Go sit down somewhere. Listen to your children. Especially while they're young. I don't care how fantasy filled their little story is. Because they will quit telling them. So a soft answer will turn away that wrath that is being built up. But if you answer them harshly, you're building, as Pink Floyd put it, the proverbial wall. I heard that song one time and actually heard it. Don't watch the movie. It's... But I heard that song. Mama's going to protect you. And then at the end, Mama, did it have to be so high? I can't get out. You see, that's what we did. We listened to people like Dr. Spock. Don't spank your children. We're going to get to that. I talked a little bit about last week about spanking. There's a difference between spanking and abuse. And there's reasons to spank, and it's not because your child got a D on their report card. If that is your own, listen, I got Fs. And I got threatened all the time. And guess what? I still got Fs. You know why? Because I couldn't learn the way they were teaching. If they had said, here, you know what classes I got A's in? Well, art. Believe it or not, I'm a good artist. Should. It's my namesake. I'm not its namesake. Shop. I got A's in shop and A's in gym. 4 months with a broken leg and I got an A. That's not doing too bad. I didn't have to do nothing but show up. But you see, if we take the time to figure, and some of the stuff we're trying to teach our kids now with, well, we got to judge our kids all the same. Seriously, I'd have done a lot better with a little different system. You want me to figure something out? Give me something to do with these two things God gave me. I got to have something for my hands to do. So when it comes to my children, you know, I told them, I said, listen, I, for one, cannot be a hypocrite and tell you that if you don't get straight A's or straight B's, you're not doing this. One, grades didn't mean a hill of beans to me. I know some of you, they're the world. Great. That's your thing. My wife even loves to see, and I love to see A's, don't get me wrong. But those grades do not judge my children. Because I know what they're capable of. I know what they can do. And they can do things that most people sit there and scratch their head. How did they do that? You know, we took keyboard home the other night. Joshua just looks over at me and he says, you've got to be kidding me. I said, what? He just points over at Jesse. Jesse's over playing the keyboard. Never had a lesson. You know what? Grades only mean something if you're going to do something else in life that requires that. Other than that, I'm not worried. Because if he follows music, praise God. I want him to follow who they are, what stirs them. Find a passion and you'll never work another day in your life. It may be hard and you're going to feel it when you get up, but you love it. You know, I know my father-in-law loves to farm. He loves it. That's why he's done it. He's had opportunities to work in factories, but he loved to farm and he came back to it. He's like, well, that just paid the bills for a little bit. Now I'm here to farm forever. So the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. We use our words rightly if we are wise with them. instead of ripping the child's head off about something stupid they did, got a scratch in the car. Oh my goodness. It's a scratch. Get over it. But you don't understand how much that car cost. Well, once you take your bale off of its pedestal and set it over here and realize that you just broke that child's spirit, and that child will probably never want to drive again. And I'm going to tell you right now, there were times we realized we missed that third driver. Like Jesse. I told Jesse one day, I said, man, it's kind of a shame you aren't at least got your permit. I'd like to at least let you drive back. I said, I don't feel like driving back. But I'm not pushing him to there just yet, because he's the one with no fear. And I need to make sure that my dear Jesus handles are well put in place. I might actually add a brake on my side. I don't think I have to worry about the accelerator. But if we're foolish, we will answer harshly and break their spirit. We will belittle them, tear them down. You do understand that there's enough people in the world tearing your child down. You're the last person who needs to do that. You're the last person who needs to tell them they're an idiot or they're stupid. You need to say, what can I do? How can I help you? And if you don't understand, find a way. That's what parenting is about. Parenting isn't, well, you know, we hooked up together, we made a child, now we're done. Walk away. The child will grow up on its own. Exactly. It'll grow up on its own not knowing what to do, how to act. And it's not going to understand why it thinks certain ways because, well, you know, we want to keep the family secrets a secret. I wish somebody had told me and that people had listened and paid attention to my ancestors to know why there's a tendency for me particularly to be foul-mouthed. Come to find out, my great-grandpa was extremely foul-mouthed. There's a propensity there. I've told my children about alcohol. Why? Because of alcoholism that runs in my family. I've told them about everything that I've experienced and things I've seen on the other side now. Instead of when I see it, going and just totally ripping their heads off. Now, I ain't going to lie from time to time. I light them up. Sometimes that does work. Sometimes. But it's not always the answer. You have got to be able to turn it on and turn it off. And if you just keep going and going and going and going, you're going to escalate. And you're going to break them. And nothing you will ever say again will get through. And again, I'm not saying that I've been perfect about raising my children. I've made mistakes. And hopefully by working with Justin, maybe I'll have some things a little further along right. May have to have another one just to... Yeah, that ain't happening. I've done the math. Lord, I'll be 65. Proverbs 22. And verse 15. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Foolishness is the same as rebellion. Rebellion is bound up in all of our hearts. And the rod is the only thing that will start it, to start to break it. But you got to start at the right age. Well, 6 months old, I was spanking my child. Oh, for crying out loud, he can't even walk. What were they being rebellious about? That's abuse. Sorry. Now, when my children got old enough to be able to reach up on the stove, we smacked their hands. Just smacked. Light tap. I wasn't trying to break blood vessels in their hands. But I also didn't want to see them blistered. Because I remember when my youngest brother was 2, he fell on the kerosene heater twice. 3 times, was it? Okay, I remember twice. And it was, he'd no sooner get healed up and come running through the house again. And that was an old farmhouse, and we had to have it for heat. And he fell right on it. No wonder he's even got any fingerprints. And he was in a lot of pain. I don't want to see my children like that. So yes, we smacked their little fingers when they could reach up and grab the pot. I've got an uncle who's burned. Well, now he's burned all over because he keeps blowing himself up. Literally. But when he was 3, he decided they were burning the trash outside, decided to go out and play by the burn barrel. And evidently, people don't use their brains and keep it inside the barrel. They let it bubble over before they light it. And the trash fell on him, and I think it was a plastic bag, and it laid and burned on a 3-year-old. But you see, my grandpa was an alcoholic. He didn't even know. He wasn't any the wiser. He was drunk. So, you know, he's lived with those scars all of his life. At 3-year-old, I tell my children, stay back. If I've got an open fire, I'm standing there with it. You don't have to have a police chief or a fire chief come along and tell me to stand there next to my fire. I'm a big boy. I take care, and I'm responsible. But yet, so many people don't know. My children know to stay away. Your child's 3. Anybody tells me they've got a whole bunch of memories before the age of 3, you will have hit and miss. Everything else is stories you've heard somebody else tell. That's the only real memory you've got. Because I don't remember having my stomach pumped at 2. And there's a few other things Mom and Dad have said had happened that I just don't remember, which praise God. So the rod of correction will drive rebellion out. When your child is young and dealing with it. If you never try to deal with your child until they're a teenager, you miss the boat. Rebellion is bound up in here, right back here. I told you, quit pulling your sister's hair. I didn't pull her hair, I just cut it off. And then cut my own. I wanted to be a barber, I guess. I don't know. We got the pictures to prove it. She had big pigtails, and well, in the picture, she's got little stubs about that big, and I got this big, nice notch missing out of the... Proverbs 13. This goes right along with what we just read. Proverbs 13:24, as you were. I got the wrong... Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't. I had the wrong chapter. He who spares his rod hates his son. You hear that? If you spare the rod, you hate your son. I just can't bring myself to spank that cute little fat bottom. Well, if you don't spank it now, when that child's 21 and decides to rob a store and kill the clerk... Trust me, the prison guards, I've heard, even today, I've heard of some things that the prison guards do. They will discipline your child. Matter of fact, that's their motto. Spank your child now so I don't have to discipline them later. That's one of their mottos. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay, that's not saying if you're in the middle of Walmart and your child does something rebellious or that you start wailing on them. Oh, can't tell you how many times. I just wanted to go over and go to the other aisle, grab a can of food, jump, and boom. Quit beating on your two-year-old right here in the store. Take them home, bend them over your knee, and I use a paddle. Like I said, one, I don't want my children, and I've used it before, and it hurts. That's the number two reason. But the number one reason is I don't want my children seeing my hand as pain. I don't want them relating that to pain. Okay? But promptly, it means while they're young, while they're little. When you start seeing the rebellion, you tell your child not to do something that's, one, going to get them hurt, and they keep doing it, you deal with it. That's rebellion. Well, if they keep taking a cookie because you leave the cookie jar out on the edge of the table or out on the counter where they can get to it, maybe you ought to move the cookie jar for a little bit. Use your head. But if you love your child, you will start when they're little. So many people, I'm not going to spank my child. You know what? Who is it? Jimmy Evans talked about this the other day. Man, it was really good. He talked about unholy vows. He said, we make unholy vows because of things that happen to us. I will never spank my child because I was beaten mercilessly. I will never do this. I will never do that. I will never do that. They're unholy vows. So what we do is we go completely to the other ditch. Discipline is a road. There's ditches on both sides. Overabuse of the discipline and total non-existence. Neglect, yes. That's exactly what it is. There is a balance in the middle. And just so you know, there's no difference between boys and girls when it comes to that. Girls need just as much spankings as boys. Just don't nod. Boy, they didn't get any. Come on, guys, you missed a good point of an amen there. Jeez, you left me hanging. There's more women in here. That's what it is. Chickens. So if we discipline our children early, hopefully by the time they're teenagers, you aren't trying to threaten them with spankings. Because by the time I was a teenager, I remember one time we had a guy living, a young man living with us. His dad didn't want him, his mom didn't want him, and he just wanted to finish high school. And so mom and dad brought him in to live with us, and they said, well, we'll treat you like one of our children, and you're going to do just as many chores, which I still think I ended up covering for him a lot. But anyhow, one of the chores was dishes. And I don't know. When you're the oldest and somebody brings in somebody older than you, and they try to act like the big brother, you're going to butt heads. And I don't know how it happened that particular evening, but we were supposed to be doing dishes, and he said or did something, wouldn't do something, and I threw something at him, and he threw something back at me, and I grabbed some mashed potatoes and threw them at him, and he threw some stuff back at me, and next thing you know, we've got mashed potatoes on the cabinets and the counters and the floor. And it went from being angry to we were just having fun then till mom walked in, and I was laughing so hard all the way, and she's in there, she got her nails dug in the back of my hair, come here, and puts me on the bed and grabs the belt, and I'm laughing and laughed. Yeah, it was a long time before she ever tried it again, but it didn't hurt. My point being, it was too late, and one, it wasn't rebellion. I still had to go clean up the stupid mess because he wasn't going to do it. So discipline your children early. That's what we're talking about. And I want you all to know this. There's a reason it says early. Everybody like, well, I want to do it. The teens, the terrible teens. You're always going to have the teens. You want to know why? The teens will always be a terrible, because they're a terrible time for a teen. They're stuck. They're in limbo here. Their body's telling them they're supposed to be adults, and their minds are saying, I want to go play with my Tonka trucks. Leave me alone. I want to go play in the sandbox. That's what their mind's telling them. Of course they're going to have attitudes. By the way, they only mimic what they live with. So check your attitude. But at 13, the Jews considered their sons and daughters men and women. Okay? So dad would usually have influence for 10 years over his son. The child was weaned. Dad took him out and he started teaching him about God. He started teaching him his trade. See, they didn't have churches. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a sad day when we rely on other people to teach our children about God and holiness. I'm not creating a social club so that your children can come and do this or that and hear a Bible story. I believe the facts of the Bible are relevant and we need to know them. But it's your job, not mine, to teach your children about God. You know why? Because you're here a couple hours a week. But at home, you're with them all the time. They're with you when you're in the car and you got the blue lights behind you. And the state patrol asks, sir, did you know you ran that red light? And you're sitting there and Junior's sitting over in the passenger seat. Heard you say, I can beat it. It wasn't red, it was hot pink. That's my favorite one. That's not red, that's hot pink. So guess what? You just taught Junior. You taught Junior to lie. Should have said, yep. I think Bobby was with me the last time I got a ticket for running a red light. Bobby, you ain't riding with me no more. Of all the places, nobody else on the road in Columbus, and this light always turned red right after I just got done sitting at one, and I thought, you know what, it's 3 a.m. Why isn't the light flashing? This is a main drag. It should be flashing. All the ones down the road are flashing, but this one. So I blew it. Wasn't nobody around except the cops sitting over here in the parking lot watching it. That was an $85 lesson. So discipline your children young. By the way, you want to know why I did that? Because it's what I was taught. It's what I learned. It was hot pink. You can get through it. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. It says, chasten your son while there is still hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Let's see, what are we bringing? Okay, we're bringing up New King James. Discipline your son or daughter while there's hope. See, Proverbs earlier taught us that if we love our children, we'll discipline them. If we don't, we hate them. I love my children, therefore I discipline them. If I didn't love them, I'd just let them go do whatever they wanted. And you know where they'll end up? They'll either Marion or Mansfield. And I'm not talking cities. I'm talking about those big buildings behind high fences. That's where they'll end up because I just let them go. Schools? Well, that's what my boys think the one over in Marion looks like, the Marion City School. Looks like a prison. It's like, all that money, I think I'd have made it look like a school. So discipline your children while there's still hope. Proverbs 23. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Boy, I'll tell you what, I sure thought I was dying. Here, kill me! At least I was screaming like somebody was. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Rebellion. I'm not talking being a little boy. How many of you figured out little boys do different things than little girls? If you don't have a little boy, I pray that somewhere along the line, your experience with a little boy comes up so that you can see that there's a difference. And if you've got daughters that acted like little boys, well, you might have a little bit of an understanding. Well, my sister, she had brothers on both sides of her, so she pretty much had to act like a little boy most of the time when we weren't beheading her Barbies or trying to see if they could fly off the roof with a parachute or jumping off the roof. That was you. That was all three of us, wasn't it? Jumping off the roof into the bushes and riding the bushes down. You know, I think we had been in the fifth or sixth grade, and mom and dad had a job that they couldn't have us there with them much, and so the lady down the road was going to babysit for us. All she ever had were daughters. All she had was three girls. And at that point, let's see, Geneva was a baby, and it was Barbie. It was the four of us, me and my brother and the two girls. And you know, the two girls, they were content with staying inside playing with dolls or whatever, and you know, they'd come out from time to time, but Christopher and I, you're not going to chain us up. And we would go outside, and they had very little yard compared to what we had. But they had this big barn, or not a big, huge barn, but there was a barn up the tractor path. And we'd take our Tonka trucks, run. I remember those days when I could still bend over and do that. I can't quite get over far enough to push my big dump. And actually, ours weren't big dumps. They were the big 4x4 monster trucks that you could change tires on. And we'd go running up and down that path. That stressed that woman out. It stressed her out. Oh, I don't know where they're at. She had to keep an eye on us at all times. She could not comprehend little boys. We needed room to roam. We were used to roaming the pasture field next to us that was all grown up and climbing trees and jumping off the roof of the house. I'm just surprised we never tried to jump off with a sheet and see if we could fly. It really didn't work with the Barbie, so I don't think we ever got brave enough to do it ourselves. But then there's a time to be spanked for rebellion. Back talking at a certain age, we'll get it. And after that, then you get to deal with see what it's really like to be a man. But I remember seeing, and this guy was a pastor. He was actually the pastor of the church we were attending at the time. And his whole family is full of rebellion, okay? You just need to understand that straight up. He had a rule-by-the-rod mentality. There was no love in that family whatsoever. Between him and his wife, his children, none of them. Nobody had any love for each other. And they were the most spiteful family I think I've ever had the displeasure of meeting. But I was friends with their youngest son. And we were loaded up in the back of the pickup truck back in the days when you could still ride in the back of a truck legally. I think there was about five of us in the back of the pickup truck. But the one boy who was actually my age didn't want to go to church that morning. And he had a bad attitude. I'm not going to lie. He probably still does. I haven't seen him in years. But his dad started fighting with him, arguing with him. And his dad was a prison guard. And so decided, well, I'm going to do what the Bible says, put a rod across your back. He grabbed the biggest stick he could find out of the bush and pulled his shirt up over his head and started beating him right in front of us. Yeah, that's love, isn't it? Just so you know, none of his kids serve the Lord. Not a one. Not a one. As a matter of fact, I know one's been to prison, and that's the one I was friends with. There's a time and place for discipline. In front of your peers is not the place. You break somebody's spirit. My boys know when they've crossed a line. There's a certain look. Anybody ever seen that look? You know, okay, you're grass when we get home. And I'm a lawnmower. But then, like I said, I've seen parents who have absolutely no couth, no understanding about what true discipline is. It's just beat, 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 beat. Smacking your kid up the side of the head. I mean, seriously, slapping them up the side of the head to where they fall over. Today, we're in a society that does not believe in disciplining your children. They're actually trying to make it illegal for you to spank your children. And this is, I guarantee you, these people are those who were beaten mercilessly. They were not disciplined, but they were abused. And I'm going to just tell you right now, the church is as much at fault in that as anybody, because that's what we taught. Just beat them. Just beat them. No, there's beatings for certain things. But just because my child didn't get an A on every... You know what? I told Jesse was pulling a low grade in a couple classes, and I told him, I said, you want to run track? Before the end of the 9 weeks, you will have a passing grade. Now, I said it at one grade. His mama said it at another. And he met it. I said, you want to do this? This is what's at stake for you. Sometimes I feel for my family because I use them as examples. But I tell you that to tell you I try to live by what I'm teaching. I could spank his bottom all day long. Although he is my dramatic one. Aren't you? Everybody thought I was killing him. I was like, we haven't even got to the kitchen yet. We're just now trying to get to the kitchen. Got him by the ankle because he's got all his fingernails digging into the floor. That's the way my brother was. All he had to do was see. It's like, for crying out loud, you sound like somebody's already mutilated you or something. Let me tell you a poem. Exactly. So there are things you have to do, but then you have to start getting creative. Okay. Well, you know what? You got a driver's license? It's a privilege, not a right. But unfortunately, the attitude that is in the world, not just this country, it's in the world. Don't spank your children. Let them grow up and be whatever they want to be. I want my children to be whatever they want to be, but undisciplined is not one of them, is not part of it. I rejoice. Okay, now, those of you that have had Jesse, you know he can be a handful from time to time. All my children can be. But it does my heart good when I have teachers that I don't know come up to me and tell me how well behaved he is. Because I know what he's like at home. I actually need a wrestling mat in every room because it just kind of keeps, it rolls off the couch, into the floor, into the dining room, into the kitchen, on the counters, and it flies up steps. That's what life is like at my house. Well, I wouldn't let that happen to mom. Well, that's your house. Because there's days that she can't stop it. Because the biggest boy is in on it. I'm still a boy. I'm just older. And once I get on top of them, I just don't move. Gaining weight has its advantages. I will just flat out tell you. Dad, get off, you're killing me. No, I'm not. You can still. I can't breathe. Dad, I can't breathe. You're talking. That means you got air going through your lungs. As parents, like I said, many of us in here, we're already at the stage where kids are grown. But there's still a whole generation out here that doesn't have kids. And those of us that are still raising our children, just remember what it was like when you were a child. Remember what you felt, how you thought. See, I mean, it was even the deal in the school. Well, we'll just give you a SWAT for not doing your homework. Really? That was a good payoff for me. Like Angela said that she had a boy, and they would say, why, just do your homework. Just do your homework. I'm going to go home and play now. Like I said, I think back then I might have been diagnosed a little ADD. Okay, just a skosh. But disciplining and training up our children is not just beating them. I realize that the majority of the scriptures we read in Proverbs are talking about spanking. And there's a reason for it. It's because we don't really want to. Why? Because we remember sitting there holding that little precious baby. I can't spank that child. Well, you either discipline the child while they're little, or you can watch the authorities discipline your child. Possibly put them to death when they're older. That's what happens. And like I said, there are always the extremes. But we as the church should be the standard, not the reasons why bad things happen. We should be the standard people are trying to live up to. Love. I love my children, I discipline them. They know with their mother when they've crossed the line. They know with me when they've crossed the line. If they're messing around and I tell them to stop and they don't, all I got, I'm getting lazy the older I get. I got an electric recliner. I just push a button and my legs start going down. They take off. I may not be able to catch them, but they got to come in sometime. And I'm a lot sneakier than they are. But your children should strive to be like you. Not you be like your children. Not, and by the way, you're not your children's best friend. Get over that. Yeah, they need a parent. They don't need you to be their best bud. They don't need you fighting for them for their clothes. Yeah, there's certain clothes I like, but after that, I'm like, dude, Joshua, and I'm like, Dad, those pants are, man, come on. They're comfortable. So what if I've got my lounge pants pulled up to my chest? They're comfortable. They made fun of me last night because I actually rolled them down. They're children. They're not pets. They're not possessions. They are many use. They act just like you did. They think just like you do. So if you were sneaking, they're going to be sneaking. One of them's not looking at me. The other one's barely looking at me. But you've got to discipline them, no matter how much it breaks your heart. I pulled Jesse out of soccer one year because he had an attitude. He was a good goalie. Coach loved him. He's a scrapper. They'd be all kicking it. You know how kids do when they're little, and they just all gather around the ball and everybody's kicking it. Jesse was a goalie. He'd just jump right in the middle of the pile and come up with the ball. Many times he was MVP. But that next year, he somehow developed an attitude, and I said, you know what? I told the coach, I said, he's done. I don't care how good you like him. I said, I love my child more than I want to see him excel in sports. Because otherwise, he's going to be one of these. Yeah, he gets a contract. Multi-million dollar contract goes out, thinks that he's above the law. Don't work. You got to love your children. You got to discipline them, no matter how much it hurts you. So, now, I am wrapping up, but I want to end it with this. I know many people in here, as I was talking, I probably stirred up things. Some of you probably were verbally abused. Some of you probably were physically abused. I want to tell you right now, there's only one way to heal that. You got to let the love of God flood you, and you've got to forgive that person. I know many of you in here, you may not have that option to go and tell them. And I'm going to tell you this just from experience. Sometimes going and telling the person makes things worse. Because if their mind is not ready, if they've not repented in their heart, you have no right to be offended. You have no right to be hurt. So just settle it with yourself and between God and move on. Get on with your life. I'm learning to control my mouth. I'm learning to control things, let things. You know what? You can ask them. There's things that they've done recently that a couple years ago, oh, I'd have hung their hides out on the line. It's not because I don't like the things that they may have done or whatever. It's the fact I'm learning, okay, that didn't work, and I do not want them acting like me. And while I may come across always as a funny type person, try to be ha-ha, upbeat, whatever, I will promise you there's a can you do not want to ever open. And I'm working on welding that lid shut. Only a few people have ever actually got to see the full thing. And it's not a side I'm proud of. I'm just telling you, we all have the same capability. And I just as soon not ever resurrect that again. So I'm learning to put my trust in God, find my peace in the Lord, and say, you know what? I told you what was going to happen, and this is what's going to happen. I know you don't like it, and I don't like it any more than you do. Until you change, this is the deal. Do you know how long God put up with the people on the earth? Oh, suddenly mankind just got so evil. You do know Noah was 500 years old when he went into the ark. I think that fact is right. Maybe it might be wrong. But nonetheless, 500. Methuselah was 965. Or 9. Adam was 65. Sometimes numbers get juggled. Don't matter. He was old. God is long-suffering. And I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes we need to just zip it, just walk away, cool down, come back and deal with it. If it's something that really has to be dealt with. Otherwise, we're not acting like God. We're acting like the devil. You stepped on my toes. I'm going to take your head off now. Please. Because I promise you, there's probably things I let fly in my house that some of you say, well, that's disrespectful, Pastor. No, my children are bantering with me. You just keep your nose out of my household. I'll keep my nose out of your household. Because there's one thing I want my children to be able to do, and that's speak up. I want them to be able to stand up for what's right and feel confident in standing up and saying it instead of it taking them 40 years to be able to do it. Because otherwise, you're just a pile of dirt in front of a bulldozer, just rolling up wherever they push you. Those of you that are dealing with those things, I want you to, you're going to take it to God. I can lay hands on you and pray for you, but you know what? Ultimately, it boils down to you taking it to God and leaving it there. You may have to go take a walk today. You may have to go find you your prayer closet, your prayer barn, wherever you go, and spend time with God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's many times I'm like, why am I suddenly thinking about this? What? God, I don't hate that person, and I don't want to kill them. I forgive them. I would never kill anybody. Well, it was just sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel. That's all it was, jealousy. He killed his brother. You're going to have to forgive. And if you're a parent still raising children or will raise those of you, the younger generation, remember those things. I know it's kind of hard to concept spanking a child. I don't want to do that. Yeah, if you love your child, you will. Because trust me, if you'd start it right, you aren't spanking them all the time. You started at the right age. I'm not talking, again, 6 months is abuse. The child has no comprehension what they're doing. They learn, though, from smacking your fingers not to touch a stove. Just like I learned not to stick bobby pins into electrical receptacles. You don't do that. You know why I learned? I got bit. And now I change receptacles while they're live. Just don't get bit. All right, let's stand. I didn't even talk about how God loves us and so he disciplines us. I don't have to. You know that. We'll talk about that in another message sometime maybe. But the most important thing is that you let God work through you. We love our children. And I'll just be honest, it would be heartbreaking to see one of my children behind bars. Especially when I could have stopped it. And again, you do not have to go to the person and confront them. Because 9 times out of 10, it does not end well. I'm just telling you from experience. I know Apostle Paul said, if you got up with somebody, go to them. He said, and if they accept, then everything's hunky-dory. He didn't tell you that probably 90% of the time they aren't going to see that they did anything wrong. Because, you know, in our own mind's eye, we all walk on water. We're perfect. We never do anything wrong. Our stuff don't stink. Yeah. That's why every bathroom has a fan. Because you lie. Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about that dirty stuff. You might want to get back in your Bible and start reading. It talks about it a lot. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. First off, that you do love us, Lord, and that you do correct us. Now, Father, as a parent and as parents, and grandparents and great-grandparents, Father, we pray that you help us to excel in those walks of life that we are in now, Father. That as our children grow and they leave our control, our authority, and are under their own now, Lord, that we learn to be their confidant, be their help. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, first off, that you're helping us. Lord, those people we have aught against, Father, whether teachers, parents, authority figures in our lives who abused their authority, Father, those that may have tore us down with words or beat us mercilessly, Father, we pray now, Father, that you move in their life, Father, that they may come to know you, they may come to find that peace, but we release them, Father, we forgive them. We do not hold on to this, we do not wish ill upon them, but Father, that they may find your peace as we are finding you. So now, Lord, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Father. I thank you that as they go in and they go out, Father, they are blessed. I thank you that as they move around this county, around Central Ohio, around this state, Father, that people will come and see them, and they will see Christ. They will see love. In Jesus' name, amen.